Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Imagine this. It's dark, cold concrete, fluorescent hum. You're asleep. Not comfortably, just worn out from another day where time doesn't move. Then something jolts you awake. That instinct before thought. You can feel it before you can see it. The weight of someone near your face. The edge of metal at your throat. A knife. And for one split second, every lie you ever told yourself about control evaporates. That's the scene being painted about Sean Diddy Combs inside a prison. A friend says he woke up with a knife to his throat. Then another inmate slipped in, stood over him, pressed the blade close enough for him to feel the sharp truth of vulnerability. And sure, if true, that is terrifying. Nobody deserves violence in prison, right? But forgive me if I don't light a candle for him. Because my gut reaction isn't shock, it's exhaustion. It's a bitter kind of clarity. Because this man, this mogul, has spent decades allegedly doing far worse to people who didn't have the walls of a federal prison to protect them. So yeah, excuse me while I don't give a shit. And it's okay if you don't either. Because when you measure one night of fear against the years of terror he's accused of inflicting, it's not even the same universe. We're talking about dipshitting, of course. Be sure to press subscribe. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section as we're going through this, please. We're not talking about a bad breakup. We're not talking about party gone too far nonsense. We're talking about accusations of systematic degradation. A man who allegedly turned pleasure into punishment, love into leverage, and trust into terror. So let's rewind the tape a little bit. Cassie Ventura, she wasn't just a girlfriend. She was, by her own account, a prisoner dressed up as a partner. Her lawsuit, which settled almost as soon as it dropped, and you can decide what that says, laid out nearly a decade of abuse that reads like a slow motion horror film. She says he beat her, essayed her when she tried to leave, forced her into what he called freak-offs. Hotel suites wired with cameras, stocked with drugs, S-workers, and humiliation while he watched. You know, like you do in a healthy relationship. She says he controlled her every move, what she wore, who she talked to, and when she could leave a room. And the kicker? There's video evidence of at least one moment of that nightmare in 2016, the hotel hallway. We've all seen it. He drags her by the hair, kicks her, throws a vase. You can hear the sound, the thud of her hitting the floor. It's one of those videos you can only watch once because it stays in your head afterward. He apologized years later, said he was disgusted by himself. But you don't get to erase a decade of terror with a single Instagram caption. And Cassie was not alone. After her story broke, the floodgates opened, and they're still flowing. Dozens of lawsuits, dozens of names. Some of them are famous. Some of them are anonymous. All of them paint the same portrait, a man who allegedly weaponized fame, money, and fear. There are lawsuits claiming he ran an organized system of coercion, using his label, his companies, his entourage like a web. Women and men say they were lured in with promises of opportunity, record deals, brand campaigns, mentorship. Then it flipped. Once you were inside the circle, the walls closed in. You were allegedly drugged, recorded, threatened, told to perform S-acts, often with male escorts, while he watched, filmed, and collected leverage. There's that word again, control. Every path in or out ran through him, allegedly. One civil suit describes Diddy chasing a woman naked through a hotel hallway wielding a firearm. Again, it's an allegation. Another says he dragged someone off a, or dangled someone off a 17th floor balcony screaming, "You know what the F you did." Again, allegations, not proven in court, allegations. Multiple women allege he beat them with bottles, threw objects, demanded acts while shouting degrading and taunting things. Some said he drugged them first. Others said they were forced to take pills or injections before being filmed. Again, all allegations. The thing about allegations is when they come from all different people at all different times in different places, and they all seem to say the same sort of shit. Hundreds of them. It's kind of a pattern. These aren't one-off incidents. They're alleged rituals. They even had a name, the freak-offs. Victims describe rooms prepped like sets, mirrors, cameras, tables covered in drugs, people too terrified to leave. They say these events weren't about pleasure. They were about submission, breaking people down until the only language left was obedience. And then he allegedly kept the recordings, a vault of shame, insurance that no one would talk. There are allegations involving minors. Again, they are allegations. There are male victims who say they were assaulted and blackmailed. One lawsuit describes victims being trafficked across state lines, paid afterward to keep quiet. Another allegation says he threatened to leak footage if anyone tried to escape his world. Even his staff, bodyguards, assistants, drivers were allegedly forced to participate. Some say they were ordered to produce drugs and procure them. Others to set up the rooms or to find the people. They said no meant losing their careers. Yes meant losing their souls. And through it all, there's the same chilling refrain. You don't say no to Diddy. Federal prosecutors finally caught up. In 2024, the Southern District of New York indicted him. Racketeering, conspiracy, sex trafficking, and transporting individuals for prostitution. The indictment read like a greatest hits of horror. An organized crime enterprise built around coercion, fear, and exploitation. Prosecutors said his wealth wasn't just fuel for luxury, it was infrastructure for abuse. Private jets, compounds, assistants, all serving one man's appetite for dominance. The trial came and the jury delivered a split verdict, not guilty on the larger racketeering counts, but guilty on two counts of transportation for prostitution. Even acquitted on the bigger charges, the damage was done. The stories are public. The allegations are out there. The images are burned in. Because even one victim describing that kind of terror is too much. And we're not talking about one. We're talking about hundreds. And here's the part that makes your blood go cold. This wasn't hidden. This wasn't some secret life in the shadows. This was happening out in the open, behind velvet ropes, at after parties, inside hotel suites where everyone pretended the screaming next door was music. And the industry knew. Some looked away. Some benefited. That's what real power does. It doesn't just corrupt. It creates accomplices. He allegedly paid off lawsuits, intimidated witnesses, buried stories, bought silence, and the machine kept running because for years, Diddy wasn't a monster. He was a brand. He was aspiration wrapped in champagne. He was power, swagger, untouchability, until the walls started closing in. So now fast forward to the present, he's in federal custody. The empire is gone, and he wakes up to a knife at his throat. It's poetic in a way. For the first time in decades, someone else had the power. For the first time, he couldn't buy, threaten, or perform his way out of fear. And look, to be clear, no one deserves to be attacked in prison. No one deserves to live in fear of being murdered. Or do they? But when I hear that Sean Combs woke up with a knife to his throat, my heart doesn't break. It calibrates. Because for the people who've accused him, that's not one night of fear. That's years. That's waking up every day with invisible knives at their throats. Fear of retaliation, fear of exposure, fear of not being believed. That's panic attacks, broken trust, and shattered identities. So no, I don't see symmetry here. This is karma. It's a spark in the dark, a small piece of consequence brushing up against a man who allegedly built his life on causing fear. If this story does anything, I hope it shifts the spotlight away from his cell and back to the people who lived in their own prisons because of him. The women who still flinch when they hear his voice. The men who lost their careers because they wouldn't play along. The employees who watched terrified, too small to stop it. That's the reality. That's the legacy. And no knife in the world is sharp enough to cut through that history. So no, I don't feel bad for Diddy, and you shouldn't either. I don't see a fallen mogul. I see decades of unchecked cruelty finally collapsing on itself. The knife, it's a moment. But the real blade, the one that matters, is the truth, cutting through all the silence that protected him for so long. Because let's face it, it wasn't the system that failed him. It was the system that protected him. The people who failed were the ones he allegedly broke. The people who told their stories were laughed off, ignored, bought off, silenced, allegedly. So when I hear that he woke up with a knife to his throat, I don't think how awful. I think you finally woke up. You woke up in a place where power doesn't mean safety anymore. Where control doesn't buy loyalty, where the cameras don't cut when you lose your temper. You woke up to your own medicine, and maybe for the first time you finally know what it's like to be afraid. That's where I leave it, because this isn't about a single moment of fear in a jail cell. It's about the trail of it left behind. And if anyone's earned a sleepless night wondering who's coming for them, it's not the people still healing. It's the man who built an empire out of fear and finally ran out of people to silence. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, if you're listening to the podcast, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you will find us there. Hit subscribe too, please. If you're on the podcast platforms, if you're on YouTube, hit it. Then you won't miss any of our coverage and commentary on stuff just like this. We do greatly appreciate that. I greatly appreciate it. So thank you so much for that. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.